It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every heart, every woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every heart, every woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. Most of you may know, or you may not know, that I'm an adjunct instructor for an accredited music college. It's called Visible Music College. It's in Dallas. So here is a worship song performed by our students.
This love that is so pure, this love that fills my soul, this love I can't endure, but keep me from off the
My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show, and I have my good friend Vicki McMurray with me today. Thank you so much for being here, Vicki.
Girl, it's a blessing. I'm happy to be here today.
Woohoo!
Yes, it's a blessing. I'm changing it up.
Yo! Okay, so we normally say the exact same thing every day,
we're
so
nervous.
She's floored me. This is going to be a great day.
It is going to be a great day.
That is perfect. Well, I'm so glad you're here, Vicki. Every Heart, Every Woman radio show is a program of Love Ministries, and Love Ministries seeks to build youth. That's what we do. So you can find out more information about our programming and about volunteering for Love Ministries at loveministriesbuilds.org. And listen, Vicki and I are so excited because we have already been laughing and having a great time.
Yes.
We are welcoming Monica Suniga.
You got it.
Woo! Oh, you did it.
It's going to be a good day.
It is.
So Monica is the founder of We Are Unveiled. We Are Unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. We Are Unveiled. So I saw Monica at Covenant Women's Conference.
Yes,
Flourish Conference. And I go every year and I take my lovely daughter.
Hey.
And we have a great time. So Pastor Amy brought you up and introduced you to everyone. And so I immediately followed We Are Unveiled on social media, started reading the stories that you share. And I thought, I hope she'll be on the show.
And here we are.
Here we are.
So y'all, yes, I asked her, she said yes.
I know.
So thank you so much for being here.
Of course. I'm honored. I'm so excited to chat with you ladies. Already learning so much. So it's going to be a fun episode.
It's going to be a fun time for sure. For sure.
Yes. So tell us a little bit more about We Are Unveiled and what you do and how you came up with it.
Yes. So We Are Unveiled is actually a Dallas-Fort Worth-based ministry, and it started in 2014, just a vision that God gave me. I came out of the corporate world, came out of a season of running away from the Lord. So any mamas listening who raise their babies in church and have their daughters or their sons living their worst life now, you know, that was me to a T, thinking I could hide it from mom and dad, but they know everything, you know, praise God. So I just kind of hit rock bottom, for lack of better words, and cried out to the Lord for the first time in a long time, really chose to make my faith my own. And that day I said, God, I will be obedient to whatever you ask me to do. And so out of that, God began to speak, you know, and so I just had a great conversation with a girl that I decided yesterday, and she was asking how to hear God's voice. And I said, listen, I am a black and white person. I am passionate. God speaks to me very black and white. You know, God may speak to other people differently, but for me, after that encounter with him, he began to give me clear words. I would hear his voice audibly. And I was like, I thought this was just in the Bible. You know, I would have dreams and I would see things. Random people would come tell me something. And I'm like, I'm not putting the fleece out, God, but you are here, you know, saying things. And so I never dreamed of launching a women's ministry. I've always been more of a guy's girl, more of a tomboy. And man, God just put it in my heart to share women's stories, to empower them to action, and really just to be a part of leading that, a charge on just being real about our faith and our walk, being real about the reality of growing up in the church, but maybe not even knowing why you're going to church or why you believe, just creating a safe place and platform for that. And so that's really how the ministry was birthed. I knew I couldn't do it by myself, so I asked God for other women to join me. He provided that in a really miraculous way. It's a long story. I'm a storyteller, so praise God, too, for
tell
that.
Tell it.
So it just, these women, God just gave me their faces, their names, and they were diverse, every ethnic background, and we all came together, and I said, okay, God, I've never led people. I don't know these women. I knew one of them from college. The rest of them, I'd met once or had literally seen them and said, I feel like God's calling you to be a part of something with me. And so we met in my tiny little home I lived in Dallas at the time. It was August 14th, 2014. And God said to tell them to bring the meaning of their name to bring their story and to bring the name he's given them in the secret place. And so each girl went around, and I didn't know how this was going to play out. These girls didn't know each other, you know what I mean?
Right,
in the Christian world, you got to save face and have kind of a mask on. And so the first girl that shared opened up just really vulnerably about her addiction to pornography from a young age. Mm-hmm. And we all cried hearing her talk mm-hmm. about that and how God delivered her, and the name he gave her was Beloved, and that she is pure in his eyes. And that just snowballed to mm-hmm. every other woman in that room sharing vulnerably and honestly about the realities and their brokenness, yet how God met them and gave them a new story. And mm-hmm. so that day we said, I don't know what this is. This is what we want to do for other women. We want to create this for other women. So it's evolved since then. We're primarily a storytelling ministry on our social media. As you talked about, Carla, you can read stories of different mm-hmm. women
yes.
every single day who write in, diverse women on just how God met them. Mm-hmm. It's been so cool. It is a safe place and platform, which was our dream. And we've shared two video testimonies since then that are really done well cinematically. We're about to release a curriculum in the next few months, which I'm really excited about,
so
a video curriculum for women. And God's just given us a lot of favor with the millennial girl. The 18 mm-hmm. to 35-year-old woman
Wonderful.
Is our target girl. Mm-hmm. He's given us a large audience that we reach mm-hmm. all organically. So it's all happening. And I'm like still keeping up with what the Lord's doing and trying to just surrender that and right. walk in what he's calling us to do and not
right.
what just is working in the world.
Right.
So
I was going to say just real quick, it makes sense to me now since your target group are girls 18 to 35. I think about my 18-year-old and, mm-hmm. you know, just sitting there last night after dinner, she's on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's on her laptop.
Mm-hmm.
She's on her phone.
Yeah.
Now she's back on her laptop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's looking at all that social media. And so I know you've got Instagram. I've been on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a podcast that
yes.
I was telling you I was mm-hmm. listening to on the way in today.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all feeds that definitely reach that
yeah.
age bracket for sure,
mm-hmm.
Being able to reach them.
Totally.
I think that's, and I love the idea of the video. I watched one of the video testimonies
yeah.
and they're just phenomenal.
They're so well done. And I think the most feedback we get from women is, so glad I found your account.
Mm-hmm.
This gives me so much hope. Like, I love reading the stories on here. It's so positive. In the 3 years that we've had a social media account, we've never had one negative comment on anything.
That's great.
I've had women who have their blogs and their own things that
mm-hmm.
they do,
mm-hmm.
and they've all said, oh, do you get hate comments? Do you get people that
mm-hmm.
message you? And
mm-hmm.
never, not once. It's mm-hmm. by the grace of God, and I believe it's because it's pure.
Yes.
It's women just being honest
mm-hmm.
and real.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about their need for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and their heart out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that leads me to, I was telling you when we were walking in, I was listening to your episode with Alyssa.
Yes.
And actually, I don't think you know this, Carla, Alyssa is on our list to book. Jarita gave me her name.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Her
and
Jarita
are
good friends.
Okay.
Alyssa,
yes.
yes. And so Alyssa works for We Are Unveiled.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But she just had the sweetest story about growing up here in Dallas
mm-hmm.
and just what it meant to her to be a Black woman now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what that walk is like for her as a DTS student,
mm-hmm.
as a high schooler,
yeah.
college student. It was profound to me
mm-hmm.
and very moving and so genuine.
Yeah.
And I started to tear up in the car driving
mm-hmm.
over here today.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I really hope people listening today will reach out and go look, especially
yes.
if it's an older person listening like myself,
mm-hmm.
share that with your child because
yeah.
it's really neat what you're doing.
Our heart is really, I have a deep heart for diversity and individuality
mm-hmm.
because Jesus does, mm-hmm. God does,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he created us all uniquely and individually. So even we're strategic, you know, in the early days, I remember girls would plan our social media feed and I would tell them there's too many white faces and blonde
mm-hmm.
hair here.
Rainbow.
We need every woman
mm-hmm.
represented. These
mm-hmm.
girls are too skinny. Put
mm-hmm.
a girl that has some weight on her on
mm-hmm.
our feed. You know, like these are little things that mean a lot because not every woman looks the same, sounds
mm-hmm.
the same, feels
sure.
the same,
mm-hmm.
thinks the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if God can use us as a voice to really influence and educate our generation in a way that is, you know, really encouraging the diversity that God has given to unite us versus separate us. And I think that will be a mark of of just victory on how we lead and run what we're called to do.
And in our young, and I have a 16-year-old daughter who's here today. She's interning with me. We don't know what we're going to do when she goes back to school.
No, we're going to be lost.
Right. We may have to keep her out of school. We'll see if her dad, the superintendent, likes that that idea.
Yeah. Probably not.
But no, I'm sure he won't. But the young people, diversity is important.
Mm-hmm. So important.
Because the messages that they are receiving as they're looking at social media and the messages that they're are allowing into their heart are sometimes very negative because of just kind of like a typecast they see on social media. It's got to be diverse, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And it's so, I have such a heart. I did not have a heart for high school kids, I will be honest. But the Lord, I do nonprofit consulting on top of running this ministry. And so 2016 and 17 school year, I worked for a nonprofit in McKinney, and my whole job was like speaking at schools, discipling teenagers, all of that. And my eyes were opened to the reality of their world, you know, that you've got to be, you know, curvy to be beautiful. You've got to wear makeup to be beautiful. You've got to have guys like you to be beautiful. Just so many realities that even, you know, I'm 30. I was in high school 2004, 2006, you know, around those, you know, times. Like, it's night and day different now.
Right.
It's a total different battle. They are comparison. One of my friends says, we as women and our generation has OCD, obsessive comparison disorder. I believe the high school generation has it at a whole nother level because they are, it's at their fingertips at every single moment.
Right.
And so if we can, as a ministry, convey and portray, and we've spent a lot of time really building our relationships internally to have a strong foundation of, no, I'm best friends with, you know, Elisa. I'm really good friends with a girl named Kayla on our team, who's African American. Jen, who's on our team, is Chinese. You know, really building, I'm Latina. We have other Latina women on our team. We have, you know, our Caucasian women. Building these strong relationships, asking really difficult questions, not shying away from that. And then, and that reflecting on everything we do will be a message of, actually, you know, no, the church isn't just one-sided,
right?
And they're not all going this way and voting for this person, for example, and causing division in a church. No, we're united. We're together. We love each other. We will move forward. And so I think a big part of my heart is, and that God's really grown and I've learned to put words to it, is like, how can we unite? How can I unite my generation cross-culturally so that when we grow into being the superintendents, the government leaders, the pastors of our city, we are already besties.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And we are all of different colors.
Right.
So it's not going to be the same narrative, regardless of how it's portrayed online.
You know, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the hard questions, because I'm a worship leader at Highland Park UMC, and our worship team is extremely diverse. And but we're family. So we have very deep conversations and talk about a lot, allow each other to ask hard questions maybe they couldn't ask at work, but this is the place, you know, as we're serving together on the weekends, and we can have a great conversation. So talk more about setting that place, that atmosphere, allowing people to ask those hard questions.
Yeah, I think you have to create culture where that's allowed. And so a big thing that we do is we set aside time every year to talk about our values. So what are our top values? So we, there's a list that I have. Anybody listening, look me up, email me. I will give you any resources you need. I'll send you this.
Cool.
I'm so passionate about giving things away. So there's a list of different words. And as a team, we selected five that we're really passionate about.
Okay.
So one of them is like generosity. One of them is, you know, cultural diversity. Another is vulnerability, you know, fearlessness, being a, like not being afraid to go against the norm. You know, these are core values of ours. So when we set that stage and we say for everyone on our staff and anyone coming in, this is the stage we're setting that we are welcoming.
Right.
Now there's space for my staff regularly. Y'all, praise God. Regularly, my staff will come to me. I will sometimes ask them, what are my blind spots? Other times they will come to me with my blind spots.
That's okay. Mm-hmm.
And so those are hard conversations as a leader. Mm-hmm. And I'm leading my peers. Mm-hmm. That's difficult. Mm-hmm. Another one recently that's just really practical is we assess events we were a part of the year before. And we say, do we want to be a part of these events again? We were a part of Women of Purpose Conference. It's a pretty large conference, predominantly African-American. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, pretty much every speaker, everyone that goes of the 400 people, our staff is not predominantly that. We're mm-hmm. a mix. And mm-hmm. other events we've been a part of, like Sparrow Conference, for example, mm-hmm. great conference, trying mm-hmm. to diversify more, mm-hmm. predominantly Caucasian mm-hmm. in the attendance. And the vibe, the feel, like everything's very, you know, what you would know about church, mm-hmm. not okay. different. And mm-hmm. so we kind of had a conversation about conferences. We're real strategic on how we partner. And I remember some of the staff saying, well, maybe we shouldn't be a part of Women of Conference this year. I don't know how beneficial that was. And some of the other girls like Elisa and Daisha and Kayla on our staff mm-hmm. who are African-American said, no, you need to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like right. it mm-hmm. is important for you, mm-hmm. for each of us to go to this mm-hmm. conference, mm-hmm. to be a part of something that's different, to mm-hmm. experience it, to invite our audience into it. Mm-hmm. Like this is a value of ours. And mm-hmm. if we don't join in this conference, then we are saying that we want to be comfortable at a conference right. that makes yes. us
and
feel
more
comfortable.
And there's a line in the sand.
Yeah. Yes.
And there shouldn't be a line. Right.
And so we also set the foundation of, my heart is for you. My mm-hmm. intentions are pure. Mm-hmm. Anything I say is not personal. Mm-hmm. And so a big part of leadership that we really try to create a culture of is you cannot respond emotionally. You can't lead out of your emotions. Mm-hmm. You have to lead out of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. You have to make decisions out of a sound mind. You have to have these conversations out of, there's a difference between, you know, friends and feelings and having wisdom. And sometimes mm-hmm. the wisest decision can come across as hard and harsh and hurtful, mm-hmm. but it's really just wise on how we're going to move in the direction that we're called to go. Mm-hmm. So really taking time, I feel like God's given a lot of grace to us. We are not perfect in mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that I'm still ironing out in myself as a leader, but God's given such a unique grace to our ministry mm-hmm. to be able to have these conversations and to come back together and say, I love you. I'm for you. Mm-hmm. This was hard and it sucked, mm-hmm. but we're going to be better because of it, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I always tell my girls, as hard as it is for me to sometimes hear their criticism sure. or their critique or what they think I should be doing different or how our vibe and our feel feels way too white and what Christian people want or, you know, things that are just difficult when you just want to have a culture of excellence mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've learned to take that with a grain of salt and say, God, they're right. You know, like, how can we shift this? Like, mm-hmm. what little things can we do? Humble me. And then there's so much grace to just say, it's not emotional. It is not personal. Mm-hmm. It is our mission, and we're going to move towards it. So I think having those key foundational elements of, I love you. I'm for you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. This is important to mm-hmm. our goal. Mm-hmm. This is wisdom. What are our core values that we will not budge on? Right. This gives that person room to talk about that hard thing. Mm-hmm. And then we can move forward together and understand one another better in that.
Yeah. I mean, you a grown up.
You are a grown up, girl.
Girl, I'm a fake grown up.
No,
praise
no.
God.
I am too. All right.
I am faking it till I make it.
Yeah, I'm a grown up
who
kids,
I'm a grown up who was forced to read as a child. That's all this is, you know. My parents shoving books down my throat.
Praise right. God they did, honestly. You know? That's fantastic.
That is wonderful, wonderful wisdom. So we need to take a break, y'all. So let's take a break and we'll come right back. We'll see you back in a minute.
To Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. My great friend. That's
I'm
better
a great
than good friend,
friend
right?
Yes. Okay. Look at you shaking
I'm
it up.
I'm going to bump it up. My great friend, Vicki McMurray, is co-hosting with me today. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thank you, friend.
So, Vicki and I, we are having a great conversation mm-hmm. with Monica Sunega.
You got it, girl.
Fist bump.
So when we weren't rolling, Monica, yes. you were sharing a little bit about your family mm-hmm. and then really sharing a word for mom. So yes. I'd like for you to kind of share that on air.
Of course. Yeah. So we were raised in the church. I jokingly told the ladies in here that, man, I had the best parents a girl could ask for. The older you get, the more you meet other people, the mm-hmm. more you see the brokenness in homes, mm-hmm. and the more you right. appreciate your family.
Right.
So my parents are both loving, really just filled our home with the gospel. They're genuine. We could talk about anything with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, y'all, I learned what sex was from my mom mm-hmm. casually. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just have always had a great relationship. But post-college, when I graduated, it was really difficult for me transitioning. I lived overseas, coming back overseas, and then just certain events in my life made me really question, why am I following God in the first place? And I just chose to live my own life. You mm-hmm. know, I worked in the corporate world, was making a lot of money, so I could spend it doing whatever I want. I mean, I was, I would say I was a functioning alcoholic for sure. Mm-hmm. Would do drugs during the day, like in my lunch break. I mean, I was sleeping with guys, dating guys, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Like, I was doing things that I would have never imagined I would participate in or that my parents would even allow. And mm-hmm. so I thought they had no idea. Mamas know everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. mamas listening,
preach
you know.
It.
You yep. know it all. Yep. We think yep. we had him. Mm-hmm. We are not sly yeah. whatsoever. You birthed no. us. Mm-hmm. You can see it all over our face. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, you know, I joke with my parents that I believe it was their prayers that spared me from so much. Mm-hmm. It was their consistent pursuit and love of me that spared me from so much. Mm-hmm. Eventually I kind of shared in the beginning how I gave my life to the Lord, had an encounter. It was really a low moment where I realized nothing was satisfying me that I thought was, and mm-hmm. I felt so alone and empty. And I just went back to what I knew. And what did I know? I knew that Jesus loved me. I knew that he wanted a relationship with me. Mm-hmm. I knew that apparently he could satisfy and fulfill things that no one else could. This mm-hmm. is what I had been told my whole life. And so that was a huge turning point for my life. My brother, I love Moses so much. His name's Moses. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed that that's his name. Like, I love his name, too.
Yes.
But he just hated the church most of our lives. My sister was a teen mom, and we saw our church react to that mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. really cut her out in a lot of ways. And my brother is extremely logical, like most men, and mm-hmm. said, if this is what Christians are, I'm out. And my parents never forced us to go to church, so he'd stay back. College, I mean, he was sleeping with, I mean, I remember in high school, my parents found out he was sleeping with his girlfriend. Like, mm-hmm. you know, my brother dabbled in things too. And I'll never forget, the Lord took him home instead of getting this big job he had originally had in Dallas. And then mm-hmm. they retracted the offer and he had to move back home. And he was working for my dad, painting, and hated it, and started going to church with my parents. I don't know why. And mm-hmm. I remember thinking, like, my brother's never going to find Jesus. Like, I remember thinking those thoughts about him. And I'll never forget, he came to Dallas one for a whole week to spend his vacation with me to help me move. And I'm like, this is not my brother mm-hmm. at all. He was selfish beforehand. And we had burgers and beers at this bar by my house mm-hmm. at the time. And across the table, he looked me in the eyes and said, my whole life I thought God hated me, and he's been pursuing me my whole life.
Wow.
And
wow.
he is the best dad and like the best husband, and mm-hmm. leads his family just under like the covering of the gospel and mm-hmm. loves the Lord. And it's crazy. It mm-hmm. is insane. And so I say all that to say, as a parent, my mama has journals. I'm in charge, if she ever dies, to give all the journals to every kid and grandchild.
Oh, wow.
You know, she has
wow.
her whole life written prayers mm-hmm. over each of us. She has them written
yes.
down for us to have
yes.
As a gift to remember her by one day. And her and my dad will wake up early in the morning and pray for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not married yet. She praying for my boo every day.
There you go.
She praying for my babies every day. I'm like, Mom, I need you to stop praying, because you praying him out. You need to pray him in, you know? But I just joke. I'm like, I don't have a baby out of wedlock because you prayed for me. Like, I am able to do what I'm doing because you prayed for me. Mm-hmm. Like, the words she spoke over me and that my dad spoke into my identity, mm-hmm. even when I wasn't pursuing the Lord, are what have enabled me to stand today and be like, there's no shame in my past, there's no guilt. This mm-hmm. is what Jesus came for. I can move
Amen.
Forward. I can walk in my identity. And mm-hmm. they are truly my biggest fans mm-hmm. when it comes to what I'm doing in ministry. Mm-hmm. And it's because at a young age, I will never forget them looking me in the eyes and saying, you are different, you are special. Mm-hmm. Your brother and sister are too, but God has a specific call upon your life, and we will always encourage you to do that. So as a parent, don't forget what you saw in your child. Don't give up. Keep praying. Mm-hmm. Keep asking. Just believe. Man, my mom, I love her so much. She'll just say all the time, I'm not asking for God to save them. They're saved. It's happening. I am standing in the agreement with it.
Yes.
We are not going to beg when God is already going to do it. It's who he is. And so for that, I just think, this generation, my generation, praise God, we lost. We a whole lost generation, and we have access to everything at our fingertips. We have the instant gratification, what we want, when we need it at that moment. And I just think that's okay. Also, don't save them. You know, if you step in and save your kid every time, you're saving them from the Savior. Best thing my parents could ever do is not save me. You know, best thing they could ever do the night that I know I was, I'd been drugged, I was out drinking, I woke up the next morning to 50 missed calls from my parents because I had called them the whole night before, belligerent, needing their help for something, and they didn't come. You know, and they live 7 hours away, you know, granted.
So there's nothing, right. They really
but they would have come. And I remember talking to my mom about it and her saying, we wanted to come. I couldn't come. You needed to, like, encounter the Lord. If I were to come and save you, what need would you have for Jesus? You know, if I would come through every time. So even as a parent, please let your kid fall. Like, you are saving them from the one thing that they need the most. And so that, I think, is just, it's, I can't imagine being a parent, Lord. I can't imagine. Holy Spirit, help us all.
I can't either, and I am one. it's not easy, but you know, I'm listening to you, and I mean, I wish there was a way, and I know you're doing it with We Are Unveiled, because it's just beautiful, the stories that you're encouraging women to share about their lives, and your Instagram and so forth. Our culture, though, I mean, I just wish there was this big, I just wish there was a light switch we could switch on and off, and that we could, you know, it shouldn't be countercultural to want to be real and want to follow Jesus or talk about him out loud to our friends or seek him and seek others who, you know, are trying to get answers. You're starting it. I mean, there's a movement, definitely, Monica, with what you're doing with your website. And I'm curious to know, when you partner, like we were saying off air earlier, that you partnered with Sparrow Conference, and we're going to have the creator, Rachel Joy, on in a few weeks. And I've watched them from afar, because I am basically the parents of some of the, you know, the parent of age to be the parent of the some of those girls that attend that conference. What is We Are Unveiled doing with some of these conferences? I'm curious to hear about that.
We are strategically partnering to really get the word out for women. So I don't see us as, like, a lot of women have said, please do a conference, please do these things. And I've said to myself, okay, who's doing a conference really well? Who is aligned with our mission and heart? Who is really doing it in a way that we can't do it at our level and capacity? And how can we come alongside them and champion them and point women there? And so Sparrow is, as you guys will hear, it's targeted to the millennial woman. And they really have a heart for diversity. And they really have a heart for so many things that we have a heart for as a ministry. And so I believe that if we look at, you know, the connection points to getting someone saved, I think we may be the touch on Instagram that gets them to the conference, that gets them then saved, that gets them then plugged into a church, and then life transformed. So that's kind of how we strategically choose our partnerships, is what are women really craving and desiring? What can be that next step for them? How can we funnel them into the right next step and right opportunity? But how are we not infiltrating them with a lot of things just on their feet? They see that every day. Praise the Lord. So what can we strategically unite with and really promote strategically in a way that says, hey, this is going to be beneficial for you in the long run? And in the future, you know, we've dreamed of a lot of different things. We're still really praying about how to really do what aligns. I'm not about doing a lot. I'm about what can we do that's very specific
and do it
to who we are and do it well. And so as far as, you know, really reaching women more intentionally, my dream world would be that we would reach only the lost girl, you know, like I look at myself in that season and I think, man, I had Christian friends who knew I was you know, doing what I was doing, living my life, and not one of them said, hey, are you okay? Something's mm-hmm. going on, you know? And no discredit for them. That's our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
Right.
It sure
it's
is.
It's judgmental. And so for me, I want to be an avenue to say, no, hey, you're not okay, but we're not going to judge you. We're not going to condemn you.
Right.
We're going to come with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to invite you to things with us. You're going to come hang out with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen the Lord do that with specific women in the city and that have been impacted by our ministry. And so we're really praying about, okay, God, how do we do this when we are truly reaching people all over? You know, Dallas isn't our biggest network. This is where we're based.
Mm-hmm.
But how are we going to be strategic through the different mediums
mm-hmm.
of media to really reach people, and then from that, do a few in-person things that we can partner with to really help connect further with our audience.
So mm-hmm. like at Sparrow, you encouraging them to participate in We Are Veiled so that you could eventually not only just share your story, but it might be a video, it could be on the podcast, it could
yes.
be on the blog.
Absolutely. So at Sparrow, in the past, I've spoke the past 3 years on panels and sharing mm-hmm. my story, different things that they've just needed a voice
right.
in to
right.
really represent our brand, our demographic,
sure.
you know, all of that good stuff. And so ways that we partnered with them is through stories, sharing stories,
mm-hmm.
having a lot of women from their community connect to us through that,
great.
Resourcing them to do that well. We don't just share stories. We have tools that really help women process their story,
mm-hmm.
Know how to really understand, like, this is what I went through and here is like where my victory
mm-hmm,
is in that
mm-hmm,
and learn how to properly share that well. A lot of women haven't taken the time to do that. So we have resources that we sell and sometimes give away on
nice.
That. We have mm-hmm. a devotional that we have sold at the conference, some other resources, t-shirts, things like that, that
mm-hmm.
we've collaborated with them on to just say, like, okay, we want to connect women to us. But really our dream is that these women would just get more connected into the church.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they want to be on our feed because we have a lot of followers
right.
and
mm-hmm.
they think it's great. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is the world we live in. Praise God. But to me, it's more of like, great, come share your story with us. Awesome. What more can we do for you? Where else can we connect you?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're the airport. We're not the church.
Right.
You know,
where
they're going to come in, we're going to give them what we need. But we
mm-hmm.
also want to funnel them back out into different areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's wonderful. One of our passions are small groups.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about small groups all the time and how just how much we've grown
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. by getting together with other women
yeah.
and studying scripture and sharing
mm-hmm.
and then how you figure out that your life isn't that much different.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
from someone else's life, even if we don't live on the same side of town, if
mm-hmm.
even if we live on the opposite.
Yes.
Right.
Neighborhoods. There's something about the Holy Spirit that weaves us all
yes,
together.
I couldn't agree more. I wish our generation liked small groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about this millennial generation. They don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they're resistant to that, but there is such a benefit to it. And so I think, again, on our staff, it's kind of a core fundamental thing. You know, you've got, these are the requirements to
yes,
be here.
Yes.
Be doing this as a millennial. Go
yes.
against culture.
Yes.
Right.
Do what no one else is doing. That way you have such a strong foundation in it, and everything we do is coming out of that place
yes,
of
yes.
this security, because it's so vital. It's so necessary.
Yes.
Having those people,
mm-hmm.
having that safe place, you know, not just one person, but multiple people.
Mm-hmm. And a perspective that's not
yes.
yours.
Right.
Absolutely.
I gain so much from others' perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, God is the main perspective that I'm interested in. But just to hear if I have something that I'm wrestling with,
mm-hmm.
I just need to ask a bud, you know, what do you think of this?
Yes.
I've talked to Carla about stuff. She's talked to me. I need to hear a perspective other than my own because I'm in the thick of it.
Yes.
And so I can't even get the mumbo jumbo stuff out of my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got to have somebody help me with it. And that's the beauty, I think, sometimes of being one-on-one or in a small group, just
yes.
having that changed perspective. But, you know, talking about how you're saying millennials they're not so interested in being in a small group, yet they'll be the first to stick on Instagram or something, some horrid story about my life stinks because,
mm-hmm.
or
yes.
look at me, da 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 da, or on Twitter. And I just find that fascinating
mm-hmm.
how hungry they are for connections.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't that fascinating? We got to figure out a way to help them.
My Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Help us. You know, it's.
It's true.
You know, one thing that we say often is that we create a safe place and platform for you to feel seen, mm-hmm. known, and understood intentionally and individually for who you are right now in this moment in process. Like, that's what he wants. When we're posting that, it's because someone is not feeling seen. I feel like the millennial generation, you know, the generation below, I don't know what they're called, more than any other generation has felt misunderstood. I truly believe that. It's a common theme. I feel mm-hmm. misunderstood. Nobody gets me. Nobody understands mm-hmm. me. And I believe it's because a curse is a two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Like, media provides an avenue for us to connect in a way we never have. I mean, right. I FaceTime my nieces and nephews mm-hmm. 7 hours away every right. night, you know. Right. But at the same time, it's taken away from this aspect right. of sitting mm-hmm. down with someone face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there isn't actually the interaction that God mm-hmm. designed mm-hmm. for us to have. And so I think the constant mm-hmm. phone, the constant things, you know, I have people tell me all the time, I am an entertainer, y'all. You know, I own it. But I have people who have never met me and they will meet me for the first time and they will think we're best friends because mm-hmm. they watch my Instagram stories every day. Mm-hmm. They see me through a lens of social media. Mm-hmm. So they feel that we're right. connected and we have this deep relationship. And so I think that all flows out of just the fruit of this high rise into the media world. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rapid rate on which things are changing, I believe, at this level is what's really affecting the emotional, relational kind yes. of interaction. Mm-hmm. And so I believe the gap feels wider for parents to their millennial age child, because if you look at what's advanced in that gap, mm-hmm. it's a lot that mm-hmm. has changed. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's actually as wide. And so it's breaking down the walls and the ideas mm-hmm. of actually, baby girl, like, I have thought that thought to you. And so I think it's just a lot of going to church and mom and dad fighting in the car. They walk in, they're happy, and no one's upset. You
oh, wait,
know
that
I mean?
Was your house too?
That was my house too, girl. Or, right. you know, like, just, you know, kind of we see this fakeness. Mm-hmm. And so it's when we want to talk to someone about, I'm thinking about killing myself for having these mm-hmm. thoughts. If we're honest, everyone at some point has likely thought that mm-hmm. in their life. You would be an anomaly to not mm-hmm. have the thought.
I've had extreme mm-hmm. thoughts, you know, absolutely.
All of us have at some point fueled by something. And so I grew up in a home very different where my parents were very open and honest about their shortcomings and about when they, like, I have more memories of my dad apologizing to me for mm-hmm. him acting out of anger or mm-hmm. getting upset about something. And he would say, that's daddy. That's not you. Here's mm-hmm. why. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. or, hey, we made this decision as a family. It was the wrong decision. We are sorry mm-hmm. for this. Mm-hmm. You know, like having that dialogue where I think most millennials didn't. I would dare to say I'm a one percenter, you know, like mm-hmm. 99% of us did not grow up in an environment like that. And I think the disconnect is I'm sharing this on social media. Mom and dad are seeing it. They're like, right. what the heck's going on? Mm-hmm. But why don't mom and dad just come say, hey, I want to tell you a story of when I felt that way. I just want to tell you that you're not alone in that.
Right.
I'm not
right.
telling you what to do. I'm not telling you how to act. I'm not telling you to come to church with me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you that I can relate to you. Mm-hmm. And here's how.
Yes.
Or, you know, just
yes.
so many different ways to just bridge this gap that mm-hmm. seems so far mm-hmm. that in reality is not. And so it's just perception is reality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And social media paints a perception that is just so skewed and flawed. And so my prayer is that we not run from media. My prayer is that we get on it and we change the
yes.
story.
Yes.
We change the
yes.
narrative.
Absolutely.
We be unashamed about it and
yes.
we use it in a way that glorifies and edifies what God designed
mm-hmm.
versus pushing away from that. If
mm-hmm.
if I can connect to a listener over audio and have them feel something,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it. And that may be what someone needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the heart behind really our mission.
I listened to one of your podcasts, and mm-hmm. it was, I can't remember her name, but she's on staff with
okay.
you, and we are unveiled, and she shared that emotions were hard for her.
Yes.
Because of
Sarah.
Her, Sarah.
Yes.
Because
mm-hmm.
of her
upbringing. Yes.
And so She shared, because I believe you asked her, okay, so what do you do? And she said, my natural thing is to just be by myself
yeah.
and not feel mm-hmm. emotions. But I walk myself through emotions and say, you know what? You're a child of God. You're human. It's okay for you to feel like this. It's you know, this it's normal. And I just thought, parents, you know, we need to be that honest with our children.
Yes.
You know, just allow them to come to us and in fact, go to them.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And please say, go to them.
Yeah. Go to them and talk honestly and open about emotions and about sharing your life with people and your just, you know, all of your experiences so that they can grow and that they can learn.
Yeah.
Dr. Roosevelt, he'll like that I called him a doctor. He is a doctor. But Dr. Roosevelt and I, we even talk about our dating experiences because now dating
is so different, girl. Yeah. Praise God.
Oh,
I'm
it's
in it.
So different.
Lord, deliver me
it's so
from
different
this
on
level.
The parent side, too.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
So we explain to them, you know, kind of what dating is, you know, because.
And expectations.
Yeah. Yes. But like the art of going to the movie, that was our first date.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we went to the movie and then we went out to lunch and then, you know, that was it. But things like that don't even happen.
No, it's I'm going to slide in your DM and that means I like you.
Yes.
That's it. I'm going to send you a snap of myself
talking.
All day.
We're talking. That's the one I hear. Mm-hmm. Well, Mom, we're just talking right now. I go, well, who is we?
Yeah.
You know, well, when, you know, so we're talking and or Mom, I'm going to go to a movie with so-and-so. Well, he's going to come into the house. He's going to meet me. And then he can take you. That's how it's done.
Yeah.
Oh, those days. I don't miss them. I was a bad teenager. Ask my mother. I think it's just continuing to, like you said, just be honest and say, I don't understand how this works. Can you explain it to me? And Mom's not trying to tell you what to do. It was different for me. And I want to understand you. I want to understand your friends. I want to be able to have great conversation. Can you share with me about that? And I think something my mom did, even when I was a wild child and does to this day, is now that I'm like leading and living out of my relationship with the Lord, it's fun when she calls me and says, this happened at work and here's how I handled it. What do you think? Did I operate like God called me to, or she'll call me and be like, hey, I have no idea how to post this thing on Facebook, or I think I made 2 Instagrams on accident, you know, like just things like that.
It's fine.
You know,
it is.
And don't doubt that your child doesn't love you. Like moms, they need you.
Yes.
They love you. Even if they push you away and are rude and mean, like, the best thing you can do is say, hey, Mom loves you and is for you. And I'm always going to be here and I'm not going to stop bugging you because I'm just going to love you with all I have, you know? And so I think just being consistent in that makes a world of difference. But the more honest you can be, the more vulnerable. And just like we say in Christianity, this is so important, I have to say it. When we encounter Jesus, we can change in a moment. People say all the time. If you decide that you want to be a different parent, you can do that in a moment.
There you go.
You tell your child, I'm sorry, I have not done it well in the past. I have not. I want to acknowledge the areas where I've fallen short, where I've hidden who I am, where I've done these things. But starting today, I'm going to try to be different. I want you to forgive me as my child. I'm learning how to do this. And I want you to help hold me accountable to these things. And I'm going to be honest with you from here on out. And that's it. That's the wrap.
Yeah.
Move forward. When they want to bring up your past, you remind them of the gospel. Jesus doesn't remember our past. He lets it go. We're moving forward.
Right.
You're right. I did used to be like that. I'm a new creation. This is how I operate as your parent now. We are moving forward, going glory to glory. Don't ever be afraid to do that at any age.
Right, and to treat your children the same way. Because my daughters haven't always made the best choices. And I'm 100% believer, and you have to be transparent and authentic. I mean, I can't tell you, my kids would be gajillionaires now for every time I said, I'm sorry, I could have done that differently. But just doing the same for them, because what has happened in the past is the past, and we move forward and we grow every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Love it.
Well, Monica, I hate to cut this off.
I know,
but
this is great.
We're like literally...
We're
out
done.
Of time. Yeah,
yes,
we're over
done.
Time.
Yeah.
So can you give your social media accounts and your website?
Yes, yes. Follow us. Everything is at We Are Unveiled. It's E-I-L-E-D, for those of you who might get it wrong. And our website is www.weareunveiled.com. You can follow us there. You can find, if you go to look up staff, you can find all of our social media handles, our podcast, all our resources are on our website.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we hope that everyone listening will follow you. There's so much wisdom within you that God has given you, but so much wisdom on your site. So everybody go and connect with them. You can connect with us at EHEW Radio or EHEWRadio.com. Our program is actually a program of Love Ministries. So you can get in contact with Love Ministries at loveministriesbuilds.org. We will see you back here next week.